This was recorded at the 10th Chinwag Live event titled Christmas Futures Crystal Balls on December 5th, 2007 in London. Featured on the panel are Guy Phillipson, CEO of the Internet Advertising Bureau, Simex Creative Director Nikki Barton, co-founder of Lateral, John Baines, Andy Hobsbawm, European Chairman of Agency.com and co-founder of GreenThing, and Pete Robbins, co-founder of Agency 21 with Catherine Corrick chairing. The event was produced by Deirdre Malloy and Sam Michel of Chinwag. The event was sponsored by Big Mouth Media and MediaCentrics. Big Mouth are leaders in digital marketing, maximizing online return and exposure for major brands including Hilton, Starbucks, NFT.com. Insight, Influence, and Integrity, MediaCentrics are the leading specialist recruitment consultancy for the digital marketing industry.
Okay, we have an amazing, just stunning panel here for you tonight. From Lateral, we have the gorgeous John Baines, whose wife is expecting very, very, very soon. So we're very lucky to have him at all. Big round of applause for John. The gorgeous Nikki Barton from Simex, a fellow woman on the panel, always lovely to have. Nikki has just done so many amazing things. I was told just before we came on that she was the person behind the design of the Mac, the IE 5.5 Mac design. So just a little awesome thing there. So one big cheer for Nikki. And we have Andy Hobsbawm, who is from agency.com and whose game I was playing earlier today. It was, I think it was do the right thing, do the green thing in the dark. Now, if anyone wants a slightly alternative game to play, which is all about sound, I recommend this game. It's slightly unusual. You have to switch the light off, put headphones on, almost ignore your screen, and try not to bump into any walls, which is quite an alternative experience. So a big round of applause for Andy. And then we have Guy Phillipson, who is chief executive of the IAB. Lots of responsibility in your shoulders. And, you know, advertising agencies suddenly have got that there's this thing called digital, which is, I'm sure, responsible to you, right down to you. So, Guy, big round of applause. And finally, but last but not least, we have the lovely Pete Robbins from Agency 21, who is going to be doing our planning specialism, which I think I found probably a shared soul in the sense of media buying, question marking that whole idea. So big cheer for Pete Robbins. Now, before I came, I just thought, well, we're talking about predictions for 2008, but I thought, well, you know, let's have a look at who said what for predictions for 2007. For some reason, I got to ZDNet, don't know why, and Eric Norlin made no sense whatsoever. He was saying things for his predictions for 2007 like, NAC's rise in importance brings back risk management. Can anyone in the room understand that? I was a bit lost. But the lovely Robert Scoble said something slightly more sensible. Microsoft, he predicted, will issue a press release in February saying Windows Vista is best-selling operating system ever. I kind of like that. This will happen whatever they say about it. I think he probably got that right. And Nicholas Carr, blogger Nicholas Carr, said Dave Weiner, he predicted that Dave Weiner would retire from the blogosphere amid great fanfare, only to start blogging again 2 months later. He got that wrong, but it's probably I could see his intention. So hopefully the predictions that our panel are going to make are going to be far more accurate than that. And we'll probably start, we're going to do it in two rounds. They're all being asked to do something on their specialist subject, and then followed by some general predictions about digital. John's is, I've got it all written down. Sorry, my bit of paper here. John is focusing on marketing. Nikki is focusing on user experience. Andy is doing agencies. Guy is doing advertising, and Pete is doing planning. So if we begin with John, and if you could, what we'll follow this round by questions, and then we'll go on to the general predictions. So, John, starting with you.
Hi there. I have to apologise in advance because what Catherine said is actually very true. My wife is due to drop any second now, so I didn't actually expect to be here at all. I kind of was thinking I had the best excuse in the universe for not having actually prepped for this. But, you know, damn. Oh, well. We were supposed to come up with a couple of things for each of our specialist topics. I think I've got one. Hoping it's a fairly big one, and I'm hoping it's something that everybody in the room here today... Actually, have we got any clients here? Yeah, exactly. So everybody else's everybody agency? Yes, pretty much. So prediction for 2012, which is a long way off, apart from the fact we're all going to be like running around doing sort of all this Olympic nonsense and like really regretting the fact that we've actually just paid all our tax towards it. It seems to me that the biggest impact on marketing, which is a really odd topic anyway, it suits so broad, is actually what's going to be happening at a client side. At the moment, we've basically coming out at the tail end of traditional marketing hierarchies, i.e. we have our, you could say a brand director, a marketing director, and within the clients, they all organize themselves in a fairly traditional way. And by the way, I do need feedback because blank faces don't work for me. So does everybody understand the way the current marketing organizations and clients work? I want to hear a yeah. Yeah. Sweet. Right. We've got 4 years to basically change the way that actually works. At the moment, the reason it's built like that is for very practical reasons based on the old school methodologies of, vertical sort of channels of TV, print, blah. Digital is still very much seen as a ghetto, although it's... I need to hear a yeah. Is digital still seen as a ghetto? Ah, yes, that's the point. But are the marketing directors coming at it from a digital point of view? No. No, they're not. Basically, what we're doing as an industry is ending up being the absolute pivotal point around which the majority of communication is actually happening. So regardless of whether the output is TV, print, raw, whatever, they're all starting from a very different basis. They're not starting from, the consumer. Right, consumer, the folk who are interested actually in the brands, and that's actually what the big shift I see is happening. So moving, I just kind of see that eventually, instead of having marketing directors, you might have customer relationship directors or something like that, where you've actually got all of the insight from a clientele who are essentially brand donors of. Actually, does everybody get the brand ownership notion? I buy the brand, I can participate in it and all that. That's all cool, we all get that. We've been doing this sort of stuff for years, but actually it's still not reflected. So this needs to move elsewhere. So basically, I sort of see, again, it's been said a million times before that we're moving from a consumer relationship management point of view to a consumer managed relationship point of view. That means all the clients have to change. That's going to take a bit of time. 4 years is probably about the amount of time it will take to move that forward. And so in marketing terms, I'm hoping that actually when we talk about ROI and return on investment, we're genuinely talking about it from the position of not the metrics of yesterday, the metrics of tomorrow, which are going to be about the way people engage with it, and we'll have clients who actually can talk to us or actually tell us and brief us in a way that's not based on bling, based on magpie syndrome, based on shiny objects, but based on real, genuine consumer user experiential understanding of what the brands are all about. So I know it's an incredibly boring thing to start with, but it strikes me that within the marketing universe, that's a key point. The other major issue that we're all facing is that's going to change, and I think when we get to the green folk, is transparency when it comes to actually the production side, which is maybe, I don't know if it's an agency point or not. But as London becomes the most expensive place in the world to actually do anything digital, and we're working with global brands, we have a real issue about how all that stuff's going to map out, not just from a carbon footprint point of view, but also from a, actually, where's the best value? So I think we're going to see what, in the UK especially, it's different the further east or west you go from here, that actually we're going to have to become significantly more specialized in what we do. And very high level, because we're not going to be able to afford to actually build what we do here anymore, which is really, really, and I'm going to use the word fucking sad, right? Because we've got some fantastic people here, but I don't know how many people have lost a pitch because the work was being outsourced to China recently, or India, or anywhere else. Nobody. Okay, got a couple. Actually, how many people actually build shit here? That's probably a better. Right, okay, so that's, I make that about 40% then. but it is going to be an issue. And so by 2012, I think what we're looking at is that the majority of UK agencies will have very strong relationships with other people around the world. And that the markets, the marketing, the people within the marketing departments are going to be looking to get value from elsewhere. So again, two very dull predictions. My other ones are much more fun. But that'll do for a start.
Thanks, John. That was great. Nikki, user experience. Tell us a little bit more. What are your predictions?
Okay, so something to get you started. It's 2012 and the mouse is dead. At the moment, we're entering a new age of ubiquitous computing where we're surrounded by intelligent services. So the interfaces to many of these services will not be met through the traditional desktop, computer and mouse, but through relatively new ways of connecting, including multi-touch surfaces, obviously there's a few of those around at the moment, and those with no visual representation, such as brain-computer and gestural interfaces. In the 1960s, we began developing a visual language for multimedia. This visual language has grown up now. It's come of age. Familiar icons, metaphors are everywhere, but they're not necessarily intuitive to the uninitiated. But with these new ways of interfacing come new possibilities, more intuitive ways of interacting, which often have more an emotional response to them, and of course, new problems that we have to deal with. I believe very strongly that interface interaction designers and usability experts must expand their knowledge across these new disciplines, and hardware and software must work more closely in tandem to create a unified experience that upholds brand values, whatever the input mechanisms may be. So this is the beginning of a new era of interface design, and I do actually believe that, of course, the mouse will still be with us. So that's one of my first thoughts for this evening. The other one is a similarly strong statement, but something I believe very strongly in. In 2012, screen sizes will be smaller. So in 2012, most people's experience of the web will be through mobile devices. Mobile will be the center of the internet and central to our lives. So increased functionality will make devices even more useful than they are at the moment. An always available connection to the internet will mean that they'll be used in different ways, many of which we obviously can't predict at the moment. But the primary interface to the internet and many other applications will be smaller than that we're used to now. So although many websites already have mobile-specific interfaces, they'll become increasingly important. They'll be the first interface that's looked at, the first interface that's designed. At the moment, they're a further add-on normally when finances and time permit. So although the screens may be smaller than the standard 1024, 768 or 800, 600 that many are used to working with now, they will have improved UIs, hopefully, that are not restrained by the current completely inefficient mobile UI thinking. The tasks that people are going to carry out on them are going to be more complex. People are going to be doing more things at the same time on them. We'll be interacting with them in different places. They'll interact with us, and we hopefully will have designed more efficient interfaces that deal with this. Importantly, there will be a closer relationship between the hardware and software. Again, you know, that's one of the reasons certain phones are quite attractive at the moment. But it's important not to forget the emotional response that we already have to our existing personal media devices, as they're called. And whatever they morph into in the future, this response will only get stronger. We're going to become more attached to them. They become our companions. They already are teachers. More practically, they're our secretaries all organising our lives, which they do at the moment. But they're going to take the strain, a lot of strain for that. We're going to create a dependency on them. So how do we do this all within a limited number of pixels is the challenge that I think people are already working on right now.
Thanks, Nikki. Just a very quick question. Do you have, other than the iPhone, an example of what might be an intuitive interaction sort of device?
I don't hear. There is one in my house at home. I have the N95, and I'm quite jealous that I haven't got the iPhone.
So for those of us who don't have an N95, what does the N95 do that, you know, is different?
It's faster.
Exactly. The N95 kind of is supposed to do anything you want. People love it, especially technology people. There's a lot of things you can do. There's a lot more things you can do with it than you can do with an iPhone. But one of the reasons the iPhone works so well is, although it's a closed bit of software, the experience you get from it is so lovely, a lot of people don't care, you know, and it makes it easier to do things.
One of the key sort of big step forward in interaction beyond the iPhone is actually the Wii, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That completely changed the paradigm for how you actually communicate with the digital screen. The iPhone's a good step in the right direction, but actually the Wii did more for interface design than anything in the last 5 years.
Thank you. That I just needed a picture. I'm sure other people needed pictures too of what it could be. And I think the Wii is a really, and the iPhone, just kind of, yeah, I've got it now. Okay. So, Andy, your predictions for agencies.
Thank you. Do you mind if I just give a quick bit of context to your comment about the dark game? Because I felt that maybe came across as slightly random, and people thought that's what I did, is create odd games like that. But
I'll do
a sort of 30-second explanation for it, because I think it might interest people. It's part of a separate thing that I do. It's not to do with agency.com, that I just started with a friend, and it's a not-for-profit community against climate change called dothegreenthing.com. And the whole idea is that you come up with very creative, inspiring ways to get people to do things they wouldn't otherwise do. So this game was about getting people to turn their lights off. And so it's a game about all the things that the whole idea was, turn your lights off and all the things you can do in the dark. Sleep, or listen to the sounds around you, or think dark thoughts, or do other things that I'm sure you can imagine. So that's what context the game was in. And if you are interested in this idea of creativity against climate change, check it out. And if, you know, it's free and it's not for profit, and if anyone wants to contribute, then get in touch. So that's why that was there. I haven't got a huge amount to say about agencies, only because I don't find them sort of enormously fascinating as an area, you know, in terms of what's going to happen to the future of agencies per se. And I'm sort of more interested in the environment in which they operate and what that tells us about sort of the world at large. But so I'm just going to sort of throw up a couple of thoughts and then the other stuff I guess I'm more interested in. I think, you know, some people have been predicting that you won't need agencies anymore in the future because the whole world of media will be kind of Googleized, and it will be this automated online self-service kind of pick and mix, do-it-yourself AdSense version of everything. And doesn't sort of really seem that credible to me. But I think media is going to become more complex, and there's definitely going to be more of that, much more sort of micro-versioning of different contents for very small segments of different communities and audiences, and a lot more very finely segmented and personalized kind of messages and bits of media that are all going to need to be managed, and it's a very complex affair to do that, and there's going to be a lot more technology to do that behind the scenes. But I think that you're still going to need agencies to be part of that, certainly in 5 years' time, because actually I don't think 5 years is that long. So I think as a result, agencies will look quite different and are already starting to change. And I think you'll see a lot of agencies having more kind of analytics in their skills, simply because you're going to need to really understand how everything is tracked and everything is measured and what sense you make of that data and how you sort of build your recommendations for clients. I think that in terms of another couple of skills, you know, strategically, I think that sort of reputation management is going to become sort of really the ground that people will fight over, because I think that sort of encompasses everything from understanding how communities sort of share information and how brands are part of sort of conversations, as well as probably out of any agency discipline that's closest to the boardroom with the McKinseys of the world, I would say it's probably the top people in PR, because they're the ones that the CEOs kind of want to see. So I think there'll be more of that. And on a tactical level, I think there'll be more sort of product placement, because that's really going to be one of the best ways to get your brand in front of an audience, by sort of very tightly integrating it with sort of products and services and content that they already reach for. I've always wondered for a while now that I think there's a bit of a race on about whether traditional agencies will kind of get digital, if you like, fast enough and subsume the digital agencies, because they've got such scale and they've got all the client relationships and they've got this kind of entrenched position and sort of strength, or whether they won't be able to move fast enough and the digital agencies will acquire, if you like, the sort of the skills and the professionalism and the level of talent that I think exists in traditional agencies, which doesn't exist in digital, to that same level. And I don't know if I can make a prediction about which will happen. I think the jury's out, and maybe it will be a bit of both. But I would never underestimate traditional agencies, simply because if you think about the percentage of revenue that digital has represented up to this point, it isn't that big, relatively speaking. And as soon as it grows, and grows as it's doing, they'll figure it out. And I would imagine that within 8 to 10 years, I would have thought that you'd have agencies would look very, very integrated. You'd have a lot of very traditional agencies farming stuff out all over the place, whether that's locally or nearshoring or offshoring or what have you. I still think clients will buy different services in different ways, so I don't think there will be a one-size-fits-all, and it might be specialisms and so on and so forth, but I think there'll be the trend towards sort of an integration of sort of cross-media services. And finally, I think point that sort of John made, that I think in the next 5 years, there's probably one important shift that I think will happen, which is that a lot of the chief marketing officers in the brand companies will actually start to turn and to flip, and you'll have a new breed of sort of much more digitally native senior marketers come in and actually be making the decisions in clients and with brands. And I think as a result, the sort of the thinking about digital and interactive will shift quite radically, because that's, I think, what's holding it back. I agree. There we have it.
Thank you, Andy. Guy.
Hello.
Yeah, you're there.
Good evening, everybody. Lots of good things have been said, and I agree with that last point about chief marketing officers getting it and paying more attention to it. You know, with these future-gazing things, all you really have to do is think about Star Trek and Harry Potter with holographic moving portraits, and you kind of get the idea of what's going to happen in the future, don't you? And with Star Trek, you know, we already have Bluetooth, which Lieutenant Uhura has in her ear, and we already have mobile phones, that they had those, you know, StarTAC flip phones in Star Trek back in the 60s. So all we need is the teleporter thing, and we're there, aren't we? And you just have to add advertising to that and put some advertiser-funded content onto the teleporter. And we can create new things in our nano generator in the kitchen, all sponsored by P&G, and that's it. But before we get there, I'm here to kind of talk about advertising, and there's a few, categories. Social media, Facebook, MySpace, Bebo, etc. That's been the flavour of the last couple of years. A trend, perhaps, in the demise of personal email. You know, there's less of the Guy Phillipson at portal.com and more of Facebook sending me a message at my work saying that somebody wants to get in touch with you and has sent you an email. And I go into Facebook and I send an email to them via this special little courier thing. And that's quite interesting. You chat to your mates. But what might be more interesting is in e-commerce. So if in 2007 we spend 42 billion quid on shopping on products and services, which is quite realistic, and 13 billion in the run-up to Christmas in the next few weeks, then what can social media do to shopping? And I do think over the next few years we're going to have this phenomenon of social shopping. There was a company called letsbuyit.com years ago, which doesn't exist now, but in the social context, where people chat about, you know, what they're buying or what they've bought, then the sort of savvy of the masses can, cause certain items to get pretty big. So I think that could be interesting. There's a company called Crowdstorm, I think, and one called Springwise, which is all dedicated to social shopping. We talked about mobile just now. I don't think it's going to be particularly big for mobile advertising in 2008, but going forward, I think it can do. The iPhone, I think, is a watershed. Just it's so tactile and feels great to use. It's widescreen, and I can imagine looking at, you know, video content on that. In Japan, they have things called QR codes, which you use with your Bluetooth, and you take a picture of this little square code, which looks like some fuzzy nonsense in a square. That could represent anything, like a money off coupon, or it could be joining a club, or you could zap it off a poster or a piece of print, or it could be online. And maybe that technology will come to the fore if it's so easy to use. And usually money talks, doesn't it? If I can save money because I've zapped a bloody code, then I'll do it. So I think that could come along. A couple of linked things: the consumer autonomy and all media becoming digital. Again, this is a little bit further out, but in the old days, sales managers always used to say, "The customer's king," and people working in our industry used to say, "Content is king." And actually, that was so much bollocks, because the salespeople still had all the control of what they were going to sell, and content was still controlled by the big media operators. But now it's kind of coming true, isn't it? So yes, we are empowered, and we are king and queen to a greater extent. And so could content is king become true then? Well, it will really, won't it? Because if we seek out what we want to watch or consume on any channel, then it all becomes rather platform agnostic. And I'll seek out a show, which is the content which is king, via whatever gateway that is. So if it's on my home hub that's Apple, or whether it's through Google or what it is, then that's where I'll get it. And so gradually, perhaps, that'll threaten the interruptive model of advertising as well. So gradually, the interruptive model will die. And agencies will have to get a lot more creative about how they put brands in front of us. So yes, the growth of advertiser-funded content, and we're seeing it already with things like Kate Modern on Bebo, which I think its record viewing was 1 million viewers for one of the episodes. And then you get to, well, are we just going to carry on planning with ABC 1-2? And I don't think that will happen either. I think the demographic planning model will die out as well. The last thing I'll do here is about search, and we're already seeing that moving from I can give you 10 gazillion results on the subject you just put in to getting fewer, more relevant results, which are in a multimedia. They give you text, they give you multimedia videos, charts, maybe expert views. And so we'll get far more personalised responses. And I've seen Larry Page stand up at a conference and say, well, the perfect search engine would go away and get you one result, which is exactly what you wanted. And maybe they've got, you know, scientists who are bonkers enough to come up with a thing like that. But long term, I think we'll have the in-brain search engine, you know, which is actually implanted in your brain, and you just have to think about what you want to find out, and it will come to you, and you can spout it out. The beauty of that is that not only do pub quizzes die, but so do exams at school. And, you know, you don't have to spend ages at university to learn political history. You can just, that's it. And that would be very useful, because if information is that cheap, then imagine how creative we could be with it. I'll leave you with that thought.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Guy.
Cider.
I was busily scribbling down, including the brain in-brain search engine. But I was just wondering if you'd heard of OsoYou, which is a social network and shopping site for women at all.
I certainly had, and I go on it every night. I bought a girdle on it yesterday.
Pete, finally.
Evening. Oh, to follow Guy Phillipson. I'm a media planner, and to prove that, I brought a Media Week. okay? Guys in that most weeks. The reason I brought this is that I guess tonight's about change. And when I first got into media a number of years ago, the person I worked for said, right, read that every fucking week, every single word, all right. Oh, okay. Because that's what media is still like, not. So I have done, pretty much. And it was interesting today that this appeared on my desk and I thought, oh, look at that. First two big stories are about a big digital media account leaving one of the digital agencies. The second lead story was about a digital agency picking up a digital account. And then three of the other seven articles all about digital media. That's today. 5 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. What's going to happen in 5 years' time? Maybe this doesn't exist. What am I going to do then? But I thought it was quite indicative of, it's quite telling today that if how we've seen changes in stuff like this and stuff that I read, because I was told to all those years ago, out of complete fear. So if change is a word, and because I'm a media person and not creative like John, I've come up with two themes that also begin with C, just so I can remember what they are. And the first one is choice. Now, some of the stuff that's been talked about here scares the living heebie-jeebies out of me, because my job, when clients come to me and say, so Pete, make sense of all this, because I need to spend lots of money, make it work. And I think, flippin' heck, if the mice or the mouse is going, if the usability, if you're now doing stuff with Wheeze, if you can stick ads into all sorts of environments that might be a hologram, how the hell am I supposed to make sense of that? Now, choice, if you're a planner, is a brilliant thing. Choice, if you're a planner, is a nightmare. Because on the same side, you are thinking, great, I've got freedom to make really intelligent, strategic, and I've never met a planner who actually knows what strategic means, or brand. It's good, isn't it? But if your job is to try and make sense of all the different choices you've got, well, guess what? Consumers have got more choices than you've got and you can accommodate in your head, which means back in 1996, when I bought my first banner campaign, it was easy. There was one salesperson at Yahoo and he was called Tom. That's true. And to get a campaign report, he would fax me over the raw log files from Yahoo, and I'd scan the pages for my GIF, and I'd go, there it is, and I'd type it into Excel version 3, and I'd print that off, and I'd go to our client, I'd say, there's a report, and he'd go, what does it mean? I'd go, I haven't got a clue. No change there. So choice is a problem, and you think about it, where it's going to be in 5 years' time, whoa. Which leads me on to the second point, which is convergence. And as I was thinking about convergence, I thought, well, I don't mean convergence, I mean explosion. But I couldn't think of a word beginning with C that meant explosion, so I was stuck with convergence. But convergence actually is, we've got it wrong as an industry. People like us up here saying about the future is sending one-to-one messages based on one-to-one stuff. Well, actually, that's never really going to happen. Because technically, it requires too much data and too much processing power, but too much money in terms of the amount of time and effort it takes to do that. But what is already happening, as we have an industry pretty much here more than anywhere else in the world, actually, which I'm proud to say, have been practicing the idea of planning campaigns against multiple audiences because we can genuinely deliver activity against multiple audiences. Well done, John. Now, that in itself, we've just scratched the tip of the iceberg for that. So in 5 years' time, the ability to dynamically plan, to dynamically deliver based on some form of observed or inferred behaviour based on some intent, which is all happening in a split second across multiple platforms in Guy's holographic world when he's making up his new girdle, is quite a scary thing if you're meant to be a planner. So the convergence of things like the technology and the sheer level of data, as Andy said, is the biggest headache for any agency involved with digital, is the sheer complexity and volume of disparate databases of data which simply don't join up, because essentially they're run by competing businesses who don't want to work with each other, who have different technologies, different ad-serving methodologies to some extent. And the amount of time that we as agencies are expected to collect that data, analyse that data, and do something with it is converging. And that's extreme pressure that's been pushed on to people like us, which makes it harder for us to push out anything of any value. So I think three C's, change, of course, but convergence and choice is probably the main two themes to follow.
And complexity.
Hell yes.
Okay, as a quick summary before we go to questions, we've got with Pete, there's change, choice, convergence and complexity. Guy, so many things to choose from. We've got from inbrain search engines to change in email, e-commerce and plus social media, the use of mobile and how content is king, and just how platforms are, content will become more platform agnostic. With Andy, we had again more media becoming more complex, agencies that will look different, more analytics, and reputation management becoming very, very key, as well as product placement. And also, don't underestimate, let's quote him here, on the traditional agencies, and that CMOs will start to become more digitally native. You're wondering why I was scribbling. And then from Nikki, we had the mouse is dead, and that we'll be coming, have more intuition and interactive interfaces. The screen size will become smaller, and that the mobile will become the first interface that people were designed for, and that we'll have stronger emotional responses to the media devices that we have. And finally, John, he was saying that, thinking about the client side and how it, we've got 4 years basically to make it work, and we're not starting anymore from a consumer perspective but consumer managed point of view, and again he mentioned about new metrics and how the importance of transparency and having more specialized in people within London to manage this more expensive place that London has become, and how we're going to have to be more aware of our carbon footprint, and how we can give best value, and how we can have stronger relationships with others. I think that was a summary of everyone. I hope that was that all accurate, everyone, before we, okay. So we're going to have some questions. Just first of all, hands up anyone. We've got some mics. We've got a mic here at the back and a mic at the front. If you'd like to put your hand up, we'll take three questions at a time and get, if you could say who you'd like your question to be answered by, or if it's all of the panel, and who your name is, first of all, and what you do.
My name is Fiona and I'm from Red Lorry, Yellow Lorry, which is a PR and written comms communications company. It's directed at the whole panel, and it's just from a personal point of view. I'm a Facebook user and heavily interested in social networking, but I've seen a bit of a backlash against it, people sort of leaving it and refusing all sort of develop applications, any invites for advertorial or anything sort of promoted from a marketing point of view. Do you really think that's going to be the future, that people are going to not use email anymore, or do you really see social networking as taking off are being used from advertising and marketing point of view?
Well, I'll take in threes, because otherwise we've got lots and lots of people, if that's okay, John. So we've got Facebook backlash, and just two more questions, and then we'll get everyone to work. Yep.
My name's Charlotte Veer, and I'm a director of bigwhitewall.com, and we're actually a client, which is quite interesting just to see that most of your agency's here. We're an online space for emotional health, so a bit support networky, that sort of thing. One thing that you haven't covered is what you think is going to happen to the marketing inventory. I've got some marketing money to spend, and I look out there and I look online and I think, actually, I don't want to spend it on what's available at the moment because the conversion rates are so low. In general, it looks fairly rubbish. How can we improve from a digital marketing perspective where I can put my money?
Okay, and one more question.
Hi, I'm Aaron Kern, director of All the Shades of Grey. We're actually a development agency, so that might make us a bit distinct to everyone else. I think in the talk of the convergence between platforms, operating systems and devices, one of the things that's been overlooked a little bit is the current ongoing battle between Adobe and Microsoft in terms of adoptance of cross-platform standard applications in terms of the Flash player and the Silverlight player. So from a personal perspective, you know, any kind of thoughts as to which one of those people expect to gain most prevalence? And secondly, just to address the fact that consumers and clients are looking for experiences that will be shared across devices, and that whichever way of accessing their site or media consumer users, they want to have some kind of similarity between it. And I think those two platforms are the way to do so.
Okay, so we have Facebook backlash, marketing conversion, and a Flash v Silverlight. Would anyone like to start? Would you like to start, John?
Yeah, I'm actually going to start on the last one. Check out JavaFX as well, because actually that's the sort of dark horse in terms of cross-media platform. You've got Flash and you've got Silverlight, but you've also got Java basically mushed together all of their various multimedia technologies, and I've got a big play happening next year, which will probably integrate better with Android, you know, the new Google's new mobile platform. So it's going to be a multi-horse race in terms of which one actually happens. But in the short term, you obviously have to do Flash. I mean, in the immediately short term. But there's not a but don't count the others out yet. And I'm a bit of a fan of JavaFX. It looks a bit rocking. On the Facebook thing, I just want to say one of the things I was going to say. So by the way, I'm skipping part of the next. My second bit was one of the big things that's going to happen over the next few years is that we end up being social media nomads. Now, anybody here play World of Warcraft? It's all right, I win, you know? Activision Blizzard just became the biggest games company on the planet, so fuck you. How many people on Facebook? Actually, keep your hands in the air. How many people on Facebook, right? How many people who are on Facebook now who were on LinkedIn? Right?
Still on it.
Did you basically download your contacts from LinkedIn, as I did, dump them into Facebook? Yeah. Now you can't do that from Facebook. Facebook's closed garden, right? You know, we all our Facebook friends, and I've got 450 of them. Dead popular, me, right? Doesn't matter, because I can't actually export them out, right? And the fact is that what's going to happen, right, is that as people, we will all start moving around. We're going to become social media nomads until we get to the point where a system like OpenID, you heard of OpenID?
Yes.
Yeah. Something like that actually kicks in, where we can actually have some sort of shared collective-like experience. And until we actually get that sort of thing, the collective e-commerce experience, the real collective shopping experience, isn't going to happen in an optimal way. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but it's not going to happen in an optimal way. We need to have a persistent status on the internet, you know, that will then be shared. And at the moment, everybody's still in land grab mode. It's no different from the year 2000, to be honest, right? So the answer is, yeah, Facebook, MySpace, Bebo, whatever. But then there's whatever. And people will move, and they'll come up with new bling. And that's it. And on the media question, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to come back to that. I do have an answer, but it's a long one.
Share a voice, John.
Who'd like to chip in next? Guy?
I'll do something on that. They're all very interesting questions, apart from the last one, which I couldn't understand at all. But I'm thinking of launching the third Reich Swizzle Stick software next week, so I hope that one's going to overcome. No, the very serious question down here from Fiona. Sorry, the other one was a really serious question, it's just I don't fucking understand it. Fiona's question about Facebook backlash is actually all linked to the fact that we, the public, are becoming more savvy about our personal data and privacy issues that are coming along. So if you did pest analysis for internet advertising. Do you remember that? Pest analysis, political, economic, social, and technology. E, S, and T are sex on a stick. Economically, you can measure the internet till the cows come home. Socially, fantastic. Everybody's gravitating towards the internet, spending loads of time and being jolly sociable. Technology, moving apace, broadband, 50 meg, give it to me, lovely, advertising. Political, that's where it starts getting a bit, ooh, that's regulation, and that's privacy, and so on. And that is where we're now moving into trickier waters where A, the public are going, I don't know if I want to put my birthday on Facebook, actually. I'm not sure if I want to put this detail down about my second home or where I live. And actually, I'm not sure if I want Facebook to be firing me beacon advertisements. So then it's, well, what else am I doing? What other data have I got out there? And then they start learning about cookies, and OK, that means people can follow me around, and all right, I know it's anonymous, but I don't really want people to follow me around. And the whole thing starts to get rather tricky. So it behoves the industry, us, IAB, and everybody, to make sure that we get our story straight about privacy and how targeting is anonymized, and behavioral targeting, for example, can actually be helpful. And it runs the research industry, for example, for audience measurement, and all sorts of things would go wrong if you couldn't have it. But it kind of starts off with a story about, you know, what about me and my data on things like Facebook? So let battle commence, I guess, is my message there.
Chinwag Live, Christmas Futures Crystal Balls, was sponsored by Big Mouth Media and MediaCentrics.